Thank you for being with us in our evening period of worship. We're using our Sunday nights looking at the 23rd Psalm. If you'd like to open your Bible to that place, and tonight we will look at the very last verse of the Psalm in our final lesson. I hope this has been something that has been good for you to think about, because strictly from my standpoint, it's been good for me. It's been good for me to look back at a passage of Scripture that I memorized when I was in the fourth grade and to realize how little I actually knew about the Psalm the day that I memorized it and how I have grown in my appreciation for it in a lot of different ways up to this point in time. And I hope that you feel that way by the studies that we've had together. Throughout the study of this Psalm, there's been a continuous emphasis that's been put on this magnificent care from a good shepherd to his flock, the sheep that he loves so very dearly. It's been stressed how essential to the welfare of the sheep is his constant effort, his undying effort to do everything that he possibly can as a skilled shepherd to provide the greatest for each and every one in his flock. All the benefits enjoyed by a flock under his skill and his loving management have been clearly stated by David. It's just a matter for us to appreciate that from the standpoint of a shepherd. And all of this is really summed up here in the very last verse, verse 6 of the 23rd Psalm. Let's look at it in two parts. Surely goodness and mercy, or goodness and loving kindness, depending on which version you are using, will follow me all the days of my life. I would think that sheep with a shepherd like this would know how blessed they are and what a privileged position they occupy under a shepherd who cares for them. Not every shepherd in the world cares as greatly as a top-notch shepherd would for his sheep. And no matter what comes, at least and always, they can be perfectly satisfied with the fact that goodness and loving kindness will be in the picture. The sheep in such a flock like that would realize the blessings of the type of ownership that they are under, and that when they have needs, whatever those needs might be, the green pastures, drinking from still waters or quiet waters, revival, guidance, no fear of evil because of the protection and the security that the good shepherd offers, his provision and protection, even in the presence of their enemies, his tender individual care that makes them thrive and be refreshed, all of those good things. What more could a sheep really want? Goodness and mercy will be the treatment that they receive from their master's expert loving hands. Don't you appreciate the thread through all of this? When you read between the lines and you think about it, the word that comes to my mind is trust. They trust the good shepherd. They don't know all the intricacies about what it is to be a shepherd. They're sheep. But the shepherd knows. And the sheep form this bond, a very close bond, with their shepherd. They answer to his voice. That's an indication of how close the bond is. Someone could put on their shepherd's clothes and stand some distance away and call to them, and they never would come, because they don't recognize the voice. They recognize the voice of their shepherd. And that indicates that they trust their shepherd to care for them. They're skittish, timid, shy. They trust this type of shepherd. It's interesting that David fully expected to receive from Jehovah goodness and loving kindness. He said, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me. David knows by his relationship with Jehovah God that he's received nothing from him but goodness and loving kindness. And David's future, when David wrote these words, was somewhat unknown to him, but he knows the one that leads him to the future and leads him through the future. And he trusts. Psalm 52 in verse 8 might be a good expression of this, since the one who wrote the 23rd Psalm, David, wrote this one as well. And here's what he said in verse 8 of Psalm 52. But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. Now that says a lot, doesn't it? About trust. Goodness and loving kindness shall follow me, David said in the Psalm. He's telling us that goodness and loving kindness is pursuing him. Goodness and loving kindness is after him all of the time. Pursuing him, chasing him, attending closely upon him wherever he goes. Through the providence of God, he pours out his goodness and his loving kindness on those who are in his flock. And this condition will be, David says, all the days of my life. The righteous should know what they have experienced in God on this earth, and that God will continue to be with them through all of their tomorrows, whatever they are, wherever the righteous find themselves and under whatever conditions they live and labor. The Lord, as David's shepherd, provides divine care, certainly. God is a shepherd to him. God looks after him. God provides for him. God encourages him. God sustains him. And David trusts him to do that. The foundations of the faith that you and I have, because we're followers of Jesus Christ, are expressed vitally, I think, in the very first verse of this psalm. The Lord, number one, is my shepherd, number two. Lord and shepherd. And when one understands what a shepherd does for sheep, which I didn't when I was a kid. I mentioned before, I'm a city slicker. I wasn't raised in the country. I visited farms. I was somewhat familiar with what went on, but I didn't know it on a day-to-day basis. And when my good friend said, you know, I sure am tired of getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning every morning, milking cows, going to school, and he did this every day, never had a vacation, you know, and I felt kind of sorry for the guy. But he knew what it was like to live on a farm. I've never known that. I've never known 5 a.m., 5:30 milkings 7 days a week. And again in the evening. Feeding chickens. Having a chicken coop. A hog pen. Sheep. Goats. I've never known things like that. Other people have. And other people can understand a great deal more than I do about that kind of a lifestyle. And there are other people in this world that really know from firsthand what it is to be a shepherd. I don't. I have to listen to what they say. I have to listen to what they tell me and explain to me so that I can understand the rich, deep meaning, what it really means when David writes these beautiful words that have been quoted so many times and studied and praised all throughout man's history since the day that they became aware of this Psalm of David. When one understands what a shepherd does for his sheep, he can see what God does for the people who trust him. And that's really something, I think. The life of Jesus was summed up in a very simple, very brief, but deeply profound statement that Peter made when he visited the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Here's what he said. It's simple. In reference to Jesus, he's telling Cornelius and his household about Jesus, and here's what he said. He went about doing good and healing those who were oppressed by the devil. That's truly a mouthful, even though it's a short statement. It was as though this was the loftiest, most noble goal that this humble carpenter from the city of Nazareth, raised in poverty, could spend his few short years on this earth doing. That's pretty profound. And we must be impressed that his good and kindly acts were always blended with a loving kindness among his people. Mercy among his people. Where so often other human beings are rude, harsh at times, vindictive, oppressive of one another, the Lord's companionship, the Lord's compassion, the Lord's tenderness, the Lord's loving kindness was always apparent, always seen by those around about him. How many of us are truly concerned that no matter what happens in our lives, what comes to bear in our lives, what occurs in our lives, that we are being pursued by the God of heaven with goodness and loving kindness? He's there to make it flow in our lives. He's there to bless us so richly. Of course, it's very simple to speak of this way when things are going well. My job is excellent, my income is flourishing, my family's doing well, all of my friends are fond of me. You know, it's not hard to say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life if those are my conditions. But what about when one's body breaks down? What about when one's job folds up and he loses his job and there's no money to meet the bills and my children aren't making their grades in school and they get caught running with the wrong crowd and friends of mine prove false and I can't depend on them and they abandon the friendship? What then? Who am I going to trust? Who do I trust as a Christian? Do I not trust my God? Because he's pursuing me. Still, he hasn't withheld his goodness. He hasn't withheld his loving kindness from me. He's still there. Are we Christians who cannot affirm what David wrote, that goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life? Does it depend really on outward circumstances? Does it depend really on if I'm having a good day or a bad day? Don't I know by faith that the Good Shepherd is pursuing me with goodness and loving kindness? David wrote in Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men!" For He has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul He has filled with what is good. Think about that. The hungry soul He has filled with what is good. He's not saying the hungry soul, he's allowed to have a little bite of His wonderful blessing. He's saying to the hungry soul, He's filled the hungry soul with what is good. The man or woman who knows firsthand about the goodness and the loving kindness of God in his or her own life will be warm and affectionate with goodness and loving kindness to other people. Another way of saying that is living in this world and letting our light shine before men, being the salt of the earth. Isn't that the measure of our appreciation for God's goodness and loving kindness? Can you and I say, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life? Can we say the second part, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? You get a picture of sheep who are so utterly satisfied with their lot in life, so fully contented with the care that they receive from the Good Shepherd, so much at home with the Good Shepherd, that there's not the hint of any kind of desire to leave. This is where I want to be. If David is continuing his picture of sheep and the Good Shepherd, then what is referred to by house is not a physical building. It's not a temple or a tabernacle, but really it's the family or the household flock of the Good Shepherd. And following the illustration of returning from the higher ground, the tableland, the summer pasture out there when the snow melts and the shepherd goes and he makes sure that it's secure enough and then he leads the sheep through treacherous territory even to get there so that they can have good grazing land. And now the winter's coming on, the weather's going to be harsh, and he's bringing them back down and he's bringing them into the safety and the security of home for a while during the winter. The return to their home fields, their home corrals, their home barns and shelters of the owner's house. It's like they've come home again after this year. Another year passes, and they've come home again for the winter. And now it is as if they are standing out there looking through the fence at the pitiful condition of the other sheep who don't have a good shepherd. And they're saying, it's as if they're saying, boy, I sure have it good. I sure am blessed. I don't have a care in the world. I have a good shepherd that cares for me. I'm not sick. I'm healthy. And I feel good. And I trust the one who cares for me. That's what it's like. Boasting about the wonderful year that it's had and the complete confidence that he has in his good shepherd. Not only do we get the idea of an ever-present shepherd on the scene, but also the concept that the sheep really want to be in full view of that shepherd at all times because they feel safe. They know he's going to protect them. Any predators come along, the good shepherd's going to take care of them. David had the confident expectation to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To dwell in the house of the Lord is to enjoy His fellowship and His presence and His companionship. Continual fellowship with God, the one who owns the house, owns the family, owns the flock. David said, I'll dwell there for length of days. I'll be sustained there. I'll live there. That's where I belong. That's where I thrive. And I thrive there for the length of my days. Perhaps this phrase should be understood to refer to all the days that might be ahead, those that are known and those that are unknown to us. David has walked with God in the past. He's made the commitment to dwell with God all of his days. He'll forever be satisfied with God. David's saying that. So strong now are the bonds between the good shepherd and the sheep, between Jehovah God and David, and could be between us and God. So strong are those bonds that in very truth, David could write, and you and I could agree, this is forever. There's nothing better than this. This is the top. This is the sound of music from the top of the hill, the top of the Alps. I'm on top of the world, and I sing of the sound of music. And even when times come where I'm in the lowest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I still have a song. I still have this song. I'll be with God in His house forever. That's the strong bond. That's the trust. Psalm 27 and verse 4 says this, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, notice what it is, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. Is David seeing something that I don't see when he says that? is David so vastly different from my personality? Is he so much higher than I am on a spiritual plane that he can say, this is what I want forever? And I say in my heart, I don't understand what you mean by that. What are you saying? What is it really all about? Being with God, beholding the beauty of the Lord and meditating in His fellowship, in His presence. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, brings this psalm to an end. Now one could say that there are three ideas in this phrase. You see that there is resolve. The writer is saying, I found satisfaction in God. There's no other place I can look to find it. It's here. It's in God. That's where I found it. And I'm going to stay there forever. And with Him, I plan to live the length of my days. Here's the resolve, the determination, the core dedication of His life. There's nothing better for me anywhere else. I resolve that. And there's an implied promise. God has been good to me, and I can believe that He will be even more gracious to me as every day goes on. As people look at what God has done for them in this world, they see implied in His graciousness, His goodness, and His loving kindness, implied in that very thing is a foretaste of the wonderful things to come that you and I haven't experienced yet, but we look forward to and we see with the eyes of faith. It's a veiled promise hidden in the Lord's goodness. And there's a privilege. What an honor it will be to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've known His wonderful fellowship, and I know that living in His house days without end will be the greatest of all privileges, is the concept. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Don't you think? We could use these words as a summary of our prospects for the future. When someone asks us, what is your future going to be like? We could respond by saying, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And not to every person who asks us that question will they fully understand what we mean by that. But to us, it's real. The psalm is about personal relationship with God. Living with God, of course, means submitting to Him. One can't actually know God without hearing His word and responding in obedience to it. Sheep follow the shepherd. You know, that should be something that you get immediately out of the psalm. They honor Him. They live by His directions because He knows what's best. Living with God means walking with Him. One cannot know God unless he lives in a consciousness of fellowship with God. God is with me. He's not off on a journey in some faraway country. He's not so far removed from us. He's with us right now in this assembly because we meet together in His name. He's close. He's near. He hears us. He knows us. He loves us. He pursues us with that goodness and that loving kindness all the time. That's wonderful, isn't it? We go God's direction. We walk His speed. We desire the things that He desires. And I want to be sure that I emphasize this third point. Living with God means enjoying Him. He's not some cruel taskmaster to us. And when we think about living, conforming our lives to His will, the whole reason we want to do it is because we love Him and trust Him. Not because somebody told us we must. You know, like we were in grammar school when the teacher gave us a bunch of rules we didn't understand and didn't feel like following, especially on the playground. That's not the God we serve. We love Him. Praying to Him, doing His will, worshiping Him are not burdens to us. We're thankful for the privilege to be able to do that. Does one find the fellowship of his dearest friend to be a hardship and a burden in life? Certainly not. Do we really know God? Do we live in His presence? Do we remember His presence? Times when we're with other people, times when we're alone. We should be delighted to belong to Christ. We should be absolutely, teetotally, as my grandmother used to say, delighted. Peaches and cream. Because we're walking with a good shepherd. Why shouldn't we feel free to tell others about how good our shepherd is to us? How glad we should be to look back and recall all of the amazing ways that He's provided for our welfare in this life. We should delight to describe in detail the hard experiences that we've gone through, but not to call attention to those difficulties and say, my life's more difficult than yours, but to exalt the One who brought us through successfully and sustained our lives and provided for us. We should be eager and quick to tell people about our confidence in Jesus Christ. We should be bold to state fearlessly, I'm glad to belong to Him. I'm happy to belong to Him. I am a slave to Him because I love Him and I want to serve Him. I want to serve Him. I want to glorify His name. You know, if we had a little bit more of that attitude, I think it would go a long way with other people and our influence on other people and helping them see the Good Shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. By the contentment and the serenity of our lives, we should show other people what a distinct advantage it is to be of the household of God, to belong to His flock. And we should be reminded that there's only one way into His fold. That way is through the owner, Jesus Christ Himself, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd boldly declared, and John wrote in his gospel in chapter 10 in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The very first line of this psalm is really the theme of the whole psalm. Notice how this idea goes throughout the psalm. I shall not want for sustenance because the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want for refreshment in verses 2 and 3 because the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want for direction. I shall not lack companionship. I shall not lack protection in verse 5, the first part, or acceptance in the second part of verse 5. I shall not want for anything in this life or in the life to come, in verse 6, because I'm walking with my God. My constant companions are goodness and loving kindness in this life and in the next. And indeed, in light of this psalm, I can announce for everyone to hear, I will never be in want. No matter what happens in life, I will never be in want. I think David could say that. This is the essence of all that has gone before in the psalm. All the care, all the work, all the watchfulness, all of the skill, all of the concern, all of the self-sacrifice that come from the good shepherd's love and the sheep trusting. The love of one who loves his sheep and he loves his work and he loves his role as a good shepherd. That's our Lord. That's the one we serve. That's the one whose name we wear. Isn't it wonderful? Now, in view of our thinking of the 23rd Psalm and closing out our deeper study of such a rich passage, I want to ask you this question, and I want to throw a few verses on the overhead, and you think about this question, okay? You think about it. Do these passages now from the Gospel of John take on a deeper meaning to you because of our study together? Think. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays His life down for the sheep. That's what Jesus said in John 10 and verse 11. 1 John 3 and verse 16, we know love by this, He laid down His life for us. Does that mean more to you now than it did 2 months ago? John 10:14-15. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. John 10:7-9, Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Does that mean more to you now? It does for me. I hope that it does for you. I pray that it does for you. This is one of the greatest pieces of Scripture that has ever been printed, that you and I have free access to. We can read anytime we want to, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, packed with such meaning, you and I still may not be able to fathom the full depths of how rich this passage really is. It has inspired so many people through the years to offer praise to God and consider the good shepherd. May we fill our hearts with its teaching today, before the time comes when we'll have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, so that it'll already and always be ingrained within us. And when our hour comes, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death securely and with confidence, knowing that our Master is with us, our Good Shepherd is with us. May it give and grant to us tranquility of spirit, serenity, peace, and a blessed peace that will so enrich our lives that we'll have to tell other people about how great it is. That's my prayer for you today. I hope you've enjoyed our study together. If you're not a Christian, I hope that a look at the 23rd Psalm has been beneficial for you, that you will think in terms of what you are missing by not being a Christian, and that you'll want to become a Christian this very night. If we can help you do that, you have to believe in the Good Shepherd, that He is the door to the sheep, and that we can go out, in and out, and find pasture, sustenance. We trust Him. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we confess Him before men. We repent of our sins. We're baptized in water for the remission of sins, raised to walk in newness of life, to be a sheep in His fold. We can help you with that tonight. We'd rejoice together with you to bring another sheep into the fold under the care and provision of the Good Shepherd. May God bless you in your choice tonight. If we can help you, please come and let us know while we stand together and sing the invitation song.